prisoner at the bar, I may as well make it clear that I personally view with distaste your despicable action. Any such intrusion into the private lives of your neighbors is unwarrantable behavior.
But, Your Honor...
Silence! The facts are quite clear. You spent over a month peering through the lady's keyhole.
That is an excerpt from 55 Days at Peking. The first in another series of a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here's a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Martha Tidville, Edgar Allan Poe Diddley, the Hampstead Garden Suburb Coal Miners Choir, Lady Windermere...
I'm one of her fans.
To continue, Harold Wilson, Keppel and Betty... And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, whose school motto is...
If at first you don't succeed, try again when she's not expecting it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Well, nothing has changed much since we last met, but recently I ran into a remarkable old character.
No.
Now, listen carefully. This chap went under the name of Mark Higham. Mark Higham. Incredible old man, and he had one greatly treasured possession, a hat studded with red jewels. Still, I suppose everyone's heard of the ruby hat of old Mark Higham. No, as you can see, nothing's changed much. Well, a couple of days ago, I decided to have my hair done, so I went to my barber... Yeah, nothing funny in it at all. I did. I went to my barber. He's got a shop up a little passage by my flat. He's what you might call an alley barber, I suppose. Anyhow, we discussed various styles, and the Beatles wasn't quite right for me. And eventually he gave me what he calls the new M1 haircut. It's a sort of broad highway in the center and soft verges at the side. Now, on with the show. And it's time now to introduce our new Hornorama feature...
Topics of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
A little village in Sussex was in the news recently, and with us today is one of its remarkable inhabitants. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. This little village you come from?
Is Titchley in the Fold, sir.
Yes,
that's the place.
You are, I believe, a truly remarkable character.
I am, sir, yes. Yes, I'm chairman of the parish council, police constable, fire brigade. I do everything.
Tell us, sir, why is this village so unique?
Because, sir, the inhabitants are all the women.
All women?
All are women, yes. In fact, there's talk of changing the name to Ladyville.
I see.
Because they're all women.
Yes. But what about you?
I am the only man in the entire village.
Well, that is remarkable.
And
may I ask you, sir? May I ask you, sir, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Football now, and a record transfer fee for the two new forwards who joined Milverton United. These star players were seen in action last Saturday.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Yeah, I must say you played magnificently in the first half. Your ball control was superb.
Thank you, Rodney. You were unlucky when you went through on your own. Rodney.
I know, but did you see that left back? He kicked me right in the penalty area. By the way, what's happening?
Oh, well, the play's right up the other end. We've got time for a chat.
Good.
You get your slices of lemon in the dressing room.
Never go without. Oh, it does wonders for the skin. I am glad we transferred from Shrimpton Wanderers, aren't you?
Oh, rather, Rodikins. Blue and white stripes just weren't me.
Oh, look out, Charles. Here comes the ball.
Got it?
To me, Charles.
To me, Rodders. Passing it back to you. Shoot, Rodney, shoot. Brilliant, Rodney. Absolutely dolly shot.
What's up with the supporters? I scored, didn't I?
Rodney.
Yes, Charles.
Shouldn't we have changed ends at half time?
Oh.
Which brings us to our panel of experts waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, it's hello again to our pop-singing friend, Ricky Livid.
Hello, Nat. Happy to be in the charts once again with my latest number, all about a fat lady in bed.
What's that?
I can't get over you.
Lastly, here's someone who really lives life to the full and a bit more. Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, I must say it's very nice to be back. I've had a very eventful summer, and I was the victim of a rather nasty scandal with Christine Forrester.
Any truth in it?
Completely unfounded.
Well, now, that's our panel, and this week's searching question is Britain really a third-rate power? Ricky Livid.
Well, I suppose Britain has slipped down the top chart a bit, down the top ten, but I'm still way up there. I mean, only a few weeks ago, I couldn't get out of the theatre for screaming kids. Police was there, girls, thousands of them. I never realised I was such an attraction.
Yes, it must be a frightening experience being mobbed, especially when you're alone.
Oh, I wasn't alone. I was with the Beatles.
Now then, Fallowfield.
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. Good British dirt is the best in the world. And I say we should export it by the bucketful. During the summer, I had a French student over to my farm to study, and I can honestly say she was very impressed. I mean, I showed her things she'd never seen before. I did ripe yellow ears of English corn, good, fat, healthy cows like Mrs. Simpkins. Believe me, that woman's got two of the plumpest Frisians I ever laid on. I don't mind telling you.
Thank you very much. Well, that's all there's time for this week.
The multi-million-dollar film that took 2 years to make.
Well, our version took 20 minutes to rehearse and cost the BBC £13.78.
Stand by, then, as we present The Fabulous Cleo, or If You Knew Caesar Like I Knew Caesar. Our story starts with Caesar's arrival in Egypt. Cleopatra has been banished, and sitting on the throne is the young King Ptolemy.
How do you know this?
The King Ptolemy himself. Caesar and his men take up residence at the palace.
Almighty Caesar!
Yes, Nitius?
I can't... I counsel you to be ever watchful. These Egyptians are not to be trusted. I've seen the writing on the wall.
So have I, and I can't make head nor tail of it.
You would if you'd seen where I saw the writing on the wall.
Where is Flavius?
I am here, Caesar.
And what news from Rome?
The news is disturbing, O mighty Caesar. There are rumblings in the Senate.
It's Brutus, Cassius, and all the other bods.
Nothing unusual. You always get rumblings from Senate bods. That is all, Flavius?
Yes, that is the end of the news.
What about the weather forecast?
Hail, Caesar.
See who it is, Nitius.
Excuse me, is Caesar at home?
Who are you? What do you want? And what is that roll of carpet you're carrying over your shoulder?
I bear a gift for the great Caesar.
We don't want your carpet. Beat it.
No, wait. Let him bring his gift in.
Thank you, almighty one. It is a very lovely Egyptian carpet. I will unroll it before you. See.
Oh, there's a woman rolled up in the carpet.
I've heard of gift wrappings, but this is ridiculous.
Such a beautiful woman, too.
Oh, and what a lovely figure. XXXII. XXIV. XX. Aye, aye, aye.
Caesar!
Yes, all right, I will.
Dear,
Take your hands off me.
This is Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile.
This is truly an historic meeting. The great Queen Cleopatra and our own August Caesar.
August? He looks more like late November.
Caesar, did you hear that? What insolence. And from such a slip of a girl, it says here.
She speaks the truth, Nitias. I'm an aging man, but though I bear the ravages of time, I could still show you a few wrinkles.
I have no doubts, my lord Caesar. Your reputation with women is renowned, but how harshly you treat them. Is it not true that when you first set eyes on one young lady, you smote her over the head?
True. I came, I saw, I conked her. But that is past now. I've given up smoting.
Good. Well, Caesar, I'm sure that you and I will get on well together. Now I must take my leave. Apollodorus?
Yes, your majesty.
Go and prepare my bath in goat's milk.
Very good, your majesty.
You bathe in milk, Cleopatra?
Yes.
Is it pasteurized?
No, just up to my tummy. Farewell!
Flavius, I don't like it.
It depends what we're talking about.
I can see our noble Caesar is under the spell of that temptress. Oh, she's wicked with it, that one. Well, I mean, coming in here in that flimsy chiffon, flaunting it about like that. Well, I mean, anyone can see she's all on the surface. I mean, that's what it is.
Belters up us. You will not speak thus of the woman I love. We shall make a good match.
True, O mighty one. The love of Caesar and Cleopatra will indeed compare to the other great loves of the world. Romeo and Juliet, Napoleon and Josephine, David Frost and himself.
Flavius, I shall go to her now. Prepare my courting toga, the short one that shows my knees.
Ah, yes. Thou art truly the nobliest Roman of them all.
And as for you, Nitias, who mock my beautiful Cleopatra, you shall be sent to one of my legions where the fighting is thickest.
No, no! Oh, no! You can't let me. I have served you faithfully. It's not fair sending me out there to certain death. It's not fair. You can't do it, you hear? You can't do it. I'm too young to die. I'm too young, too beautiful. It's not fair! It's not fair!
All right, Richard Burton, that's enough. Take him away, Flavius.
You'll be sorry you wait. I'll have the last laugh, Caesar. I know what's going to happen to you halfway through the sketch.
And now to Cleopatra. Cleo, it's me-o.
I'm in my bath. Who is it?
Julius Caesar.
Come in.
Hello. Oh, no, please don't get up. I just popped in on the off chance. Cleopatra, I've come here to ask you to be my wife.
Already? But many things must happen first. History has it that way.
Yes, well, the BBC must have it this way. Will you consent?
Yes.
And so they were married. And in time, Cleopatra, the great Egyptian queen, became a mummy.
I was proud of my son. He looked exactly like me. That is, if you held him upside down.
We were happy for a while. And then Caesar was recalled to Rome.
It was over a year later when Cleopatra joined Caesar. Her entry into Rome was triumphal. Acrobats, belly dancers, chariots, soldiers. There had not been a spectacle like this since Chuchin Chow. All Rome turned out for the occasion.
You should have let me know you were coming.
Hello, Caesar.
Cleopatra, it's a good thing you look as beautiful as ever.
It is a good thing you look as handsome as ever.
And it's a good thing this is radio.
My beloved, no sooner do we meet again than we must part. I have business in the Senate.
Then I am to be left alone once more.
No, you shall be escorted by my faithful friend, Mark Antony. He approaches now.
Ah, yes, Mark Antony. A handsome giant of a man whose reputation with women is second only to yours.
This is he.
You are Mark Antony?
Yeah, that's right. Hello? Hello? Yeah, do you think I look like Burton?
You look more as if you've gone for one.
Oh, no, you rude.
Well, I really must go to the Senate. Goodbye, Cleo. Goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, Julie.
Well, Mark Antony, now we are alone. Why don't you come closer?
No, stop messing about.
Come over here. Come over here and hold my hand.
No. Caesar is my best friend.
You're so handsome. Come and kiss me.
No. Caesar's my best friend.
I'd do anything for you.
Oh, well, bang goes another friendship.
Meanwhile, at the Senate, there were dark goings on.
Put a light on, someone. Brutus.
Yes, Casca.
Caesar's on his way. Now is the time to draw our daggers.
Are you suggesting murder?
Well, we'll have a stab at it. Where is Cassius?
I'm here and I'm the greatest. Man, I'll take him in just 5 rounds.
Why don't we forget about Caesar and have a go at him?
No! Wait! Caesar is coming.
Now, what are you lot hanging around for?
All right, Caesar, your end is in sight.
Well, my toga slips again.
Attack!
Not you too, Brutus. I cannot believe it. Stabbed in the back by 3 of my best friends.
Oh, well, that's show business.
With Caesar gone, there was a battle for power in the Senate. Meanwhile, in Egypt, the love of Cleopatra and Mark Antony blossomed.
Mark, tell me something.
Yeah.
Were you born in Rome?
Yeah, it's cool. In fact, I was the original funny thing that happened on the way to the forum. I tell you what, yeah. Why did you ask?
Oh, Mark, you know I hate it when you're away from me. But don't you think you should go back to Rome?
No.
Octavian is stirring up opinion against you and against Egypt.
I don't care. I like it here. I like it. All these orgies and everything. It's very me.
Albert, Mark, I'm frightened.
Don't be like that. Come over here. Here, that's it. Closer.
Oh, Mark.
Oh, Cleo.
Oh, Mark. Wait a minute. I've got a feeling. It's only a feeling, mind you.
Right.
That we're being watched. Yes, look. That glass panel at the back of the studio.
Oh, yes. These BBC producers are all the same. Well, as soon as you have a love scene, they'll get panicky. I bet we get faded out.
And so they were. But Cleopatra was right. In the Senate, Octavian spoke fiercely against Mark Antony.
I tell you, gentlemen, he is a traitor. He has taken up with that Egyptian woman, recklessly thrown away our valuable territories. He has usurped the power of Rome, and he's been getting far too many laughs. I say war, gentlemen.
Mark, Sosigenes is here. My advisor and philosopher wishes to speak with you.
Hello, Sosigenes.
Sosigenes.
Yes, man.
The hour has come for decision, Mark Antony. Where do you do battle with Octavian, on land or at sea?
Yeah, no good asking me.
But you must lead our troops. Oh, where is the brave warrior who once I knew?
Are you? If you're there, listen to me. You must have been watching what's going on here. Tell me your decision.
That's easy. Next week you get killed off on page one.
Come, Mark Antony, lead us into battle. We'll meet Octavian on sea at Actium.
There's no sea there.
Actium, Clot, not Acton. Come, prepare for battle.
It was a hard, bitter, but Octavian and the Romans soon overpowered the Egyptians, and what few loyal supporters Mark Antony had left quickly deserted him. He fled back to Egypt, a broken, dishonored soldier.
I'm a broken, dishonored soldier. There is nothing left for me but ignominy, and I don't even know what that means. There's only one course left open to me. I must kill myself. Ooh, ah, ooh. Well, that's got the dagger out of the sheath. Now then, to do the dirty deed.
Mark, my darling, what have you done? Oh, Mark!
Open up, Cleopatra! It's Octavian!
Quickly, Sesagenes, bring me the bowl of fruit.
Here, your majesty.
And from the fruit I take the asp and clasp it to my it's been cut. Ah! Was this well done?
With a bit more rehearsal, it might have been. Alas, history's most ambitious woman is no more.
And what's more, Sesagenes, without fulfilling my biggest ambition.
What was your biggest ambition, Cleopatra?
I wanted to make a film about Elizabeth Taylor.
That's it for this week. Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in Honiton, Devon. When a peer renounces his title, does he become a jetty? Cheerio.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Merriman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show was produced by John Simmons.